Elementary Scientific English Practice, Book 2, Part 1, Mathematics. 1. How many units long is the longest side? Here is a right-angled triangle. The two shorter sides are 3 and 4 units long. How many units long is the longest side? Can you tell without measuring? How? About 2,500 years ago, 500 BC, a great Greek, Pythagoras, proved that the square on the longest side of any right-angled triangle is equal to the squares on the other sides added together. We can use his discovery to get our answer. We multiply the length of each of the two shorter sides by itself. We add the answer together. Thus we find a number which, multiplied by itself, gives us this number. Here is the answer. 9 plus 16 equals 25 equals 5 times 5. When we multiply a number by itself, we square it. Any number is the square root of its square. 5 is the square root of 25. 2. Semicircles inside a semicircle. In Figure 1, two equal semicircles, marked Q, are drawn on the diameter of a larger semicircle, of which the portion marked P is bounded by the three semicircles. 1. What is the area of P in terms of the sum of the areas marked Q? 2. What is the perimeter of P in terms of the half circumference of the larger semicircle? In Figure 2, semicircles marked B and C have radii 2r and 3r, and are drawn with their diameters on the diameter of the semicircle with radius 5r. The portion between the larger semicircle and B and C is marked A. 3. What is the perimeter of A? 4. Find the ratio of the areas of A, B and C. 5. Is the area of A greater than, equal to, or less than the sum of the areas of B and C? 6. If the area of A differs from the sum of the areas of B and C, express the difference as a fraction of the area of A. Using Figure 2, if the radii of B and C are x and y, and the radius of the larger semicircle is x plus y, 7. What is the perimeter of A in terms of the circumference of a circle of radius x plus y? 8. Is the area of A greater than, equal to, or less than the sum of the areas of B and C? Solutions. 1. The areas of circles and of semicircles are proportional to the squares of their radii. So each semicircle Q has an area one quarter of the area of the large semicircle. Hence the area of P is equal to the sum of the areas marked Q. 2. The circumferences of circles are proportional to their radii or diameter. Hence the perimeter of P is equal to the circumference of the whole circle on LM as diameter. 3. The perimeter of A is equal to the circumference of the circle on XY as diameter. 4. The areas of the three semicircles are proportional to 4R squared, 9R squared, and 25R squared. So the ratio of the areas of A, B, and C is 12, 4, and 9. 5. The area of A is less than the sum of the areas of B and C, being in the ratio of 12 to 13. 6. The difference between the area of A and the areas of B and C is therefore 1/12 of the area of A. 7. The perimeter of A equals the circumference of a circle of radius x plus y. 8. The ratio of the areas of the three semicircles is x squared to y squared to brackets x plus y brackets squared. So the ratio of the areas of A, B, and C is 2xy to x squared to y squared. The area of A is always less than the sum of the areas of B and C, since x squared plus y squared is always greater than 2xy, because x squared plus y squared minus 2xy equals brackets x minus y brackets squared is always positive. 3. What can electronic computers do? You can make a computer do anything that you can express as a series of arithmetical operations. Apart from the obviously arithmetical work, like pay calculations, there is much work which can be put into a mathematical form, although at first sight it may not appear to have anything to do with arithmetic. A simple example of such work would be the storing of names of people in alphabetical order. By coding the letters of the alphabet with numbers, we turn the job into one where we in fact ask the computer to decide which is the lowest coded number, which is the next lowest, and so on. In our modern society, the number of calculations to be made is vast. Examples of commercial jobs involving calculations which come to mind are control of stock or inventory, sending invoices for goods sold, and paying wages. If you or I add up two numbers of six figures, it will take us not less than 5 seconds. Most electronic computers can do over 10,000 of these sums every second. This starts to give you some idea of the phenomenal speed of these machines. Of course, speed of calculation does not matter very much if you have to add up or multiply or subtract only a few numbers. But the moment you are dealing with vast quantities of data or information, the speed at which you can do these sums is of paramount importance. The great speed which the computer now puts at the disposal of the scientist and engineer has made possible a large number of technological advances which would otherwise not have taken place. Atomic energy is one example. In order to arrive at the answers necessary before an atomic power station can be built, the number of computations necessary would previously have taken several men 100 years. With a computer, a few men can do the work in a matter of months. This tremendous saving has made it possible for atomic energy to become the practical proposition which it now is. Let me repeat that without computers, the development of atomic power stations would have been quite impossible. And this is only the beginning of the age of computers. A new world is opening up, a world based upon the electronic speed of computation, a world in which we can foresee the time when the drudgery of clerical labor will be eliminated. Electronic brains will be used not only for clerical work, but to control manufacturing processes. The introduction of the brain element into manufacturing is likely to increase the productivity per man to such an extent that we can look forward to an era where there should be a plentiful supply of goods and a reduction in the hours necessary to produce them.
Kindy, 课堂欢迎你。